We're beginning with Masechta Moed Katan. So most of Moed Katan talks about the dinim of Chol HaMoed. So earlier in Seder Moed, we learned the dinim of Yom Tov and Masechta Beitza. So now we have the dinim of Chol HaMoed. Also in this in the third perek, we're going to have a lot of discussion of the dinim of Avelos, and to a certain extent of the dinim of somebody who was put in Chayrim, because there's a certain similarity over there. In that, we're going to talk about in the third perek that on Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to cut your hair or wash your clothes. And similarly in Avelos, and when a person is in Nidui, he's also not allowed to. For that reason, in fact, the third perek, is one of the things you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, because it has dinim of Avelos in it. So the Masechta comes where it is, the Rambam says the reason is it comes after Megillah, because just like on Purim, you're not allowed to do a spadim and not allowed to fast, so it is on Chol HaMoed as well, as we'll talk about at the end of the Masechta, about the dinim of that, as they relate to Chol HaMoed. One other thing to point out as we go through the Masechta is, good morning, Ali, what we have printed on the side over here in the name of Rashi seems to, a lot of people say that it's actually not from Rashi. There's a lot of different theories. It's a Pirush of Rabbeinu Gershom, it's a Pirush of Rabbeinu Yochim, who was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Gershom, and various other possibilities. So at various times in the Masechta, we're gonna have to be referring to what Rashi says over here versus what's been printed in other places, what we have over here printed under Rashi's name versus what we have in other places, which seems to be Rashi's actual Pirush. You have, for example, Rashi on the Rif. Usually in most places in Shas, Rashi on the Rif is just a collection of comments of Rashi that somebody put on the Rif. But here it seems that the Rashi printed on the Rif seems to be closer to the original Rashi. There's been various places where Rashi's actual Pirush has been printed. One of them was about 15 years ago, Yossel Keller, or Yid, who used to live here in Crown Heights and then now is in Florida, published from various Kisvei Yad and various other sources what seems to be more the original Pirush of Rashi on the Masechta. There's many places where it disagrees with what we have printed in front of us in Rashi, and in fact, there's at least one place in connection with the dinim that we're going to be learning now, there's at least one place where the Beis Yosef says, since we don't know which one is from Rashi, maybe we have to be machmir like both of them when it comes to the dinim of Chol HaMoed. So briefly, as an introduction, by way of introduction to the matter of Malacha and Chol HaMoed, so we're going to be talking about in the Masechta the various things that you're allowed and not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. Now, obviously, the rules for them are more lenient than for Yom Tov, but nevertheless, you still have rules, and you have Machlokas Rishonim where those rules come from. We learned at the end of Megillah, Rashi referred to a pasuk over there that we're going to learn about in Masechta Chagiga, from which the Gemara learns over there the concept of not working on Chol HaMoed. So Rashi says it's daraisa, the fact that you're not allowed to do certain malachas, in certain cases, you're not allowed to do malacha on Chol HaMoed. Rashi learns it's daraisa. Rabbi Natam asks on that, and in that case, then how do we have all the exceptions that we're going to be learning in our Masechta? You don't find like that in Dinim Daraisa, where you have so many exceptions, usually. So Rabbi Natam learns that it's all Dirabanan, and the Pasuk is only an Asmachta. And then you have a couple of other opinions of the Rishonim on the subject, that Ramban learns that it's basically Daraisa, but the Chachamim added things, and the Sefer HaChinuch learns that this is one of those cases, says the Chinuch, where Daraisa is the concept you're not allowed to work on Chol HaMoed, but the Torah didn't specify what the details are, what you're allowed and not allowed to do, and Hashem left it up to the Chachamim to determine. So it comes out, according to the Chinuch, that when we say you're allowed or not allowed to do such and such on Chol HaMoed, it is in fact, for the most part, Daraisa, but it's Daraisa as decided by the Chachamim, as opposed to, in other words, in most cases, by most mitzvahs, where the Torah itself lays out the details and the parameters. So let's begin the actual Masechta. By the way, the first word of it is Mashkin, and there are, in fact, a couple of Rishonim who call it Masechta Mashkin after the first word of it. So the Mishnah says, Mashkin Beis HaShochin B'Moyed U'Vashvis. On Chalamoyed and also on Shemitah, you're allowed to water a Beis HaShochin. A Beis HaShochin is a field that needs a lot of water. So Rashi, as printed in front of us, says that it means, for example, the field is on a mountain. So therefore, rainwater is not enough for it. You have to irrigate it. You have to irrigate it by hand as well. So then you're allowed to. Now, so one of the rules. So we're going to go as we go through the Masechta. We'll see what the various basic rules are of what kinds of work you. What are the cases where you're allowed to do work on Chol HaMoed? There's a number of different things. One of them, which is the first one that we're going to deal with in the Mishnah over here, is Dabar HaAvod, where you have something that if you don't do this malacha on Chol HaMoed, you're going to suffer a major financial loss. So then the Chachamim allow you to do that. So then whoever it is, Daraisa or Darabanan, as the case may be, that you're allowed to do malacha, then you're allowed to do malacha in that case. So this Beis HaShochin is an example of that. If you don't water it regularly, then it's going to dry up. So you're allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. Over Shvius, and also during Shemitah, even though you're not allowed to work the land during Shemitah, this you're allowed to do. Bein mimayin sheyotze b'tchila, whether you're watering it from a stream, from a fountain that just now started coming out of the ground, so it hasn't even carved out for itself in the ground a regular channel yet. You're allowed to use it. We're not concerned, for example, that the walls of the channel are going to fall in. Bein mimayin shelo yotze b'tchila, or whether from a fountain that is not just coming out for the first time now. You have a well-established one already that has a well-established channel. Either way, you're allowed to water the field of a Beis HaShochin with it on Moyed and on Shvius. Avol ein mashkin lo yimei gshamim, but you're not allowed to water the field from rainwater, because in other words, when you have a pond, for example, that has rainwater in it, and you have to draw water from it to irrigate the field, that you're not allowed to do because there's too much tircha involved. So one of the rules is even when you're allowed to do certain malachas on Chol HaMoed, one of the restrictions is there can't be tircha yaseira involved. There can't be too much tircha, which there would be over here watering it from a pond that contain where you stored rainwater. So when we said mashkin beis hashochin means, for example, that you have irrigation ditches or whatever, and all you need to do is open up the gates or whatever and let the water come through, that you're allowed to do in a beis hashochin, but not from me'ag shamim, because that's too much tircha. V'lo me'ag kiloin, and also not from water that comes from a kiloin. So a kiloin is a kind of deep ditch or deep well where you have water in it. Some places relate it to the Greek word kiloin, which means an arrangement that you have with a bucket attached to the end of a pole where, like, you have to, it's so deep down, you can't just drop down a bucket on a rope like you usually would. You need a whole contraption over there involving a bucket at the end of a pole in order to water it. Whatever the case, the point is that a kiloin is very deep, and therefore it's a lot of tircha to get water from that. So that you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. The ein osin ugias legafanim, you're also not allowed to make round ditches around grapevines, where the idea would be you dig a ditch around the grapevine so that it'll hold a lot of water, and that way the grapevine will grow well. You're not allowed to do that because, again, that involves too much tircha. So here, I mean, the printed Rashi in front of us mentioned that all these things we're mentioning are because of tircha yaseira. The other possibility is some of them is not so much tircha yaseira, but rather, as the Gemara is going to discuss with some of these things, that it might be because there's no actual hefsid involved. If you don't do them Chol HaMoed, you may not have your produce won't be as bright and shiny and grow early as it otherwise would, but you're not going to actually lose it. So that's another point. There are actually, when we start over here, Mashkin Beis HaMoed, Mashkin Beis HaShochin, Mashkin Beis HaShvius, there is some discussion about whether you have as many. Now, the Mishnah does mention Moed and Shvius back to back, but the fact is, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara, We're going to discuss in the Gemara on Daf Gimel and Dalet that the rules of Shemitah are, I mean, you're not allowed to work the land, but the rules, for example, as far as Tircha on Shavuos are not necessarily the same as for Chol HaMoed. There's no particular why should anything that involves Tircha be also on Chol HaMoed. So there are, in fact, Mishonim who learn that in fact some of these things that we're mentioning in the Mishnah are in fact maybe allowed during Shavuos. The Ksaviyad Rashi seems to say that, and a couple of other Rishonim say that as well. On the other hand, the Ritva says that, no, come on, I mean, if that were the distinction, then the Mishnah should have said that someplace, and therefore we can say that, in fact, maybe all these things are also doing Shemitah as well. If not D'oraisa, then at least D'rabbanan, fine. D'oraisa, we're going to talk about tomorrow, Beis Hashem, that there's only a small number of Melachos that are also D'oraisa and Shvias. But the Chachamim will have made rules that there were other ones because including ones involving Tircha Yisera. Continues the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Ein Oisin Asa'am B'Tchilah B'Moed Rashvius. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says you're not allowed to begin to first dig out an Amma, which is a canal for water in your field during Moed, during Chol HaMoed, or during Shemitah. Because he considers that it's too similar to working the ground. When you're digging a ditch, you're digging in the ground, which is similar to digging like when you're digging in order to plant, or you're digging around hoeing around the roots of the plants in order to get fresh air to the roots. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says the same way as you're not allowed to hoe in your field during Moed or during Shemitah, the same way, because there's no hefsed merubah involved, and on the other hand there is Tircha Yisera. So the same way he says you wouldn't be allowed to dig an irrigation ditch on Chol HaMoed or on Shavuos. The Chum say no. Oisken Esa'am b'Tchilah b'Shavuos. You are allowed to dig such a ditch to begin with during Shemitah. Fine. Maybe they agree with him on Chol HaMoed, fine, but they disagree on Shemitah, and the Gemara is going to eventually explain. The reason is because the Chacham say you can see there's a difference. When you're digging, when you're hoeing around the plants, you leave the dirt where it is. You dig it, you dig into it in order to soften it up so the plants will grow better, but then you leave all the dirt where it is. Whereas here, you're digging and you're removing the dirt because you want the room for the irrigation ditch, so therefore you'd be allowed to do that during Shemitah. It's not considered working the land. Now, as far as Chol HaMoed, the Chachamim are going to say, fine, you can't dig out a new ditch to begin with, because that would be, Tosfos points out, it would be Tircha Yisera, because you're digging in hard ground over there, you're digging in ground that has not yet been dug up for that purpose, so it would be too much trouble to do that. But if you have an irrigation ditch that was messed up, for example, that dirt or rocks or whatever fell into it, and therefore it's not flowing smoothly, then you're allowed to fix that. You're allowed to fix that during Chol HaMoed. Also, umasakhin is kukulei amayim shirishas rabim. Similarly, when you have in rishas rabim, you have places where water is not flowing smoothly in rishas rabim. So, for example, you have Rashi further on in the Perek describes that, let's say, for example, you have a water pit in Rosh Hashanah that people drink, that people themselves and their animals drink from, and you have, again, let's say that rocks or whatever fell into them. So you're allowed to fix them, should be Rosh Hashanah, those ones that are in Rosh Hashanah, and you're allowed to clear them out. That if it gets filled up with dirt, then you're allowed to dig it out. Because there, Tosfos points out, the dirt will be much looser. It was previously, there was a well or a ditch over there. Now dirt fell into it, fine, but the dirt is not going to be as tightly packed as it was before, therefore there's not as much tircha in removing it. But to dig it out for the first time would be tircha yisera. So you're allowed to do that, say the Chachamim, because also here you have a factor. Now another factor is, we mentioned hefsed merubah. Now over here, these kukuli amayim shavir shasarabim, there's no hefsed merubah. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about that this is the only source of water for people. But there's a different factor which makes it allowed to do these things on Chol HaMoed, namely Tzorchei Rabim. So you have, so besides that we talk about Hefs and Merubah, another point is Tzorchei Rabim, when you have things that are needed by the public, then you have more leniency and more latitude to do them on Chol HaMoed. So these are examples of that. Since they're in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, And since these wells or pits or whatever are on Rosh Hashanah, and people depend on them, and people use them for themselves and for their animals, therefore you're not allowed to dig them on Chol HaMoed, but you are allowed to fix them up and re-dig them out. Also continues the Mishnah, Masakhenes HaDrochim, you're also allowed to fix up the roads. You have roads, in other words, the roads in those times were not paved, they're, for the most part, they're muddy roads, so they're dirt roads. So when they have so over time they get potholes in them, they're not smooth, so you're allowed to fix those on Chol HaMoed. That's the chovos and the city squares, that's mikvois hamayim, and also the mikvois of water. Not in those times, remember, it was not only for women to tovel when their nidor is over, but also men needed tovel for various purposes for tahara, so you're allowed to fix those on Chol HaMoed. V'osin called tzorchei rabbim, you're allowed to do other kinds of things that the rabbim need, which we'll learn in the Gemara eventually. What are examples of those tzorchei rabbim that we're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed? V'metzainin, that's a kvaris. Another thing you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed is to mark graves. We're going to learn in the Gemara about this on Daf Hei, Daf Vav, that because people had to be careful with Tumah V'Tahara, therefore you had to very carefully mark any place where there was a grave or a place where there were human remains of any kind. You would have to mark them, as the Gemara mentions, the Gemara explains later, you would mark them with white plaster, and that way it would be a simon for people, whether it's Koyanim, whether it's people who are dealing with Tumah or Kodshim or whatever, would know to stay away from those places. So you're allowed to mark those on Chol HaMoed, again, because Tosfos says that you're allowed to because there's no tircha involved. There's no tircha in taking some plaster and pouring it on the Mokum HaTumah. So therefore you're allowed to. The Yotzin Afal HaKelayim, another thing they would do on Chol HaMoed is the Beis Din would go out and deal with people who had Kelayim in their fields. So we'll talk about that in the Gemara eventually. We learned in Megillah that Rosh Chodesh Adar, Mashmin al Kelayim, Rosh Chodesh Adar, Beis Din would start announcing that anybody who has Kelayim in their field should remove it. So now we're saying later on, during Chol HaMoed, then Shluchei Beis Din can actually go out and deal with the matter and see what and see who has Kelayim in their field and deal with getting it removed. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. Now we said, the first thing we said in the Mishnah was about that you're allowed to water a Beis HaShochen, a field that needs irrigation. We said, you're allowed to use a Mayan Shal Yotzeh B'Tchila, you're allowed to use water from an underground spring that first started coming out of the ground. So even though it hasn't cut itself a channel in the ground yet, or one that has not, or one that already was there for a long time. So I'm asked, why do we need to mention both? If you're telling me that you're allowed to use water from a spring that first now came out of the ground, and you don't have to worry to oscillate in pulley, you don't have to worry that maybe the walls on the sides of the water will cave in, because after all, you're going to say it hasn't cut itself a permanent channel yet. It might, the ground around it may fall in. And yet we're saying you're allowed to do that. Mashkin, Mimayan, Shalayotzabatkhila. So that, in that case, when you have a Mayan that didn't first come out now, you have one where it's already been there for a while and it already cut itself a channel through the ground, Deloy Ossilin Pulley, where it's less likely that the banks of it are going to fall in, because it's already been there for a long time. Miboya, does it need to be said that you can do it? So why can't the Mishnah just say, Mashkin Beis HaMoed, Beis HaShochen, Moed HaMashvias, Mimayim Sheyotze B'Tchila. And automatically, we'd understand that all the more so you're allowed to use a Mayim Shelo Yotze B'Tchila, a spring where the water has been coming out of it for a while. The answer is Amri, the Chamim, the Bnei Yishev answered, Itzrich. The fact is, we do need to mention both of them. Because E Tonim, Mayan, Yotze B'Tchila, if the Mishnah only mentioned the case of one that Yotze B'Tchila, that now for the first time it's coming out of the ground, where we said the problem is, you might think for yourself, it hasn't yet, it only just started coming out of the ground. The ground above it could easily shift and collapse and block the stream. And that, so if it only mentioned, you're allowed to use that. Havamina hocho de besa shochen ein besa baloi. You would say, you know what? Well, that explains why the only kind of field that you can water from such a spring is a besa shochen, a field that needs irrigation. You would say, in that case, besa baloi, you'd understand why you're not allowed to use it to water a field that generally doesn't need irrigation, a besa bal, which is a field that is able to live and to flourish only on rainwater. So now, even a field, even a besa bal, you might want to water it extra. The Gemara is going to point out soon, because it'll help the crops grow faster. But nevertheless, a besa bal, in principle, you don't have to irrigate. So you would say, okay, then I understand. The Mishnah is telling you, because this Mayan only came out for the first time now, therefore, we don't want you using it for a besa bal. Mishum da osili and puli. Because, as we just said, it's not a regular fountain. It's not a regular spring yet. The ground above it may still collapse, and then you're not going to have it. And then what are you going to do? You're going to say to yourself, yeah, but I really want the spring. Therefore, you're going to go dig out the dirt above it. And we're saying for a besa bal, you're not allowed to do that, because a besa bal, you don't really need to water, and there's no hefsed merubah involved in redigging it out. Aval, but you would think mayan shelo yotze b'tchila. When you have an already well-established spring that's coming out of the ground, deloy oscillin pulley, where after all, there's no possibility that it's going to fall in, that the ground is going to shift and cave in over it. It's already been there a while. So deloy oscillin pulley, it's not likely to fall in. Ema, if the Mishnah hadn't mentioned that point, you would have thought, afilo besa bal nami, maybe even from such a spring, you're allowed to water even a besa bal. Kamash Tulon, therefore, the Mishnah tells us, Loishna Mayan, Shayotza Bethila, Loishna Mayan, Shayotza Bethila, it doesn't matter which one, either one, Besa Shochen, Ein Besa Baloi. You're only allowed to use either kind to water a Besa Shochen, again, because otherwise you're going to have Hefsid, but not a Besa Bal, because a Besa Bal, you don't really need to water anyway. You're only doing it, as the Gemara is going to call it soon, Mishum Harvocha, in order to benefit, in order to make that your crops will grow better and faster. And that's not a valid reason to be doing Melacha on Chol HaMoed. That's why the Mishnah had to tell us both kinds of Mayan. Okay. By the way, the Gemara mentions a linguistic point. Umay Mashma Dahai Beit HaShochen Lishna Tzachosehi. Where do we see the word Beis HaShochen implies ground that is thirsty for water, and therefore they have to irrigate it? So the answer is Dichtiv, because the Pasuk says, in connection with when Amalek attacked the Jewish people, it says, Ba'ata Oyef B'Yageya, in Parshas Zohar, it says, you were Oyef B'Yageya, which means literally Oyef B'Yageya, means tired and worn out. But we're understanding, in other words, Tosfos says, the word Oyef specifically means that they were thirsty for water. Because what happened? You have an our parasha, that they were in Rephidim, they were out of water, they complained to Moshe, Moshe went and hit the rock, and then water came, and right after that, Amalek attacked. So they were still thirsty for water, and therefore tired and not at their best when Amalek attacked. So the word oyef means thirsty for water. Umetagaminan and tagum onkelos on the words oyef v'yageya is va'at mishalhi v'loi, and you were mishalhi and tired. So we see that the word mishalhi is the translation in Aramaic of the word oyef. And since the word oyef means thirsty, means, as Tosfos says, thirsty for water, and when worn out by needing water, then therefore the word mashalhi is related to that. And so therefore, beis hasholchin with a ches is similar to hasholhin with a hey. You often find that the Chachamim darshan words with a hey as if they were written with a ches and vice versa. Because after all, you have, for us Ashkenazim, we pronounce them very differently, but for Sardim, where they pronounce a ches in the back of the throat, it's actually very similar to a letter hey. Okay, so we see from that a beis hasholchin is a land that's thirsty, a land that needs irrigation. Next, umay mashma dahai beis habal lishna de miyasvosehi. Conversely, where do we see that beis habal means a land that's already settled, meaning, in other words, a land means land that doesn't need irrigation because it's able to grow just fine on rainwater. So where do we see that? So like here, it's a land that's settled, that's satisfied with the amount of rain that it gets, and it doesn't need artificial irrigation. So, dichtiv, you have a pasuk in Yeshaya. ki yival bachor besola. The pasuk says, as a bachor yival a besola, a young lady. And the pasuk continues the same way. Your children will live in you, Yerushalayim. So what does that mean? Tagum Yonasan, on the pasuk translates the word yival are kemadmi toisev ulim in besulta, just as a young man lives together in peace and in harmony with a besula who he married, yisyaslun begaveh banayach, similarly your children will settle peacefully within you. So we see therefore that the word baal refers to living peacefully and not needing anything else, just like a chas and kala don't need anything else except each other. So that's what we're saying, therefore. So you're allowed to water a Beis HaShochin on Chol HaMoed because there's hefset involved, and we said you're allowed to use either kind of spring, whether it's one that came out new from the ground or whether one that's already well-established, but on the other hand, with a Beis HaBaal, you're not allowed to use either kind, which is why the Mishnah had to mention both kinds. And then on the other hand, we said in the Mishnah that you can't use from Me'ag Shomim or Me'ag Kiloin, because then there's too much Tircha involved. So the Gemara says, Man Tana de Pseide Ein HaVochaloi. Well, which Tana is it that says that you're allowed to do Malacha on Chol HaMoed where otherwise there would be a Hefsid, but that you're not allowed to do Malacha on Chol HaMoed where it's only for HaVocha, where it's only in order to gain something extra, like, in other words, like Rashi is saying over here, in order that this way the crops will grow faster. So which Tana says that? And that also adds Vafilabamakum Seda Mitrach Nami Lajakinan, and furthermore that says that even where there's a hefsin involved, you're still not allowed to do tircha, which is why, for example, we said you're not allowed to use Meyag Shomim or Meyag Kiloin, because those involve too much tircha. Which Tana is it that says that? Now the point is, you know, usually you would say Stam Mishnah and a Meir, but Tosfos points out that we're going to bring soon several opinions on the subject, and we're going to have an opinion of the mayor who disagrees with our Mishnah. Therefore, obviously, our Mishnah doesn't follow the rule of Stam Mishnah and a mayor, so therefore the Gemara wants to know, well, which Tana is it? So Amar Rav Huna, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So Rav Huna says that would be according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. It's not. We learn in the next Mishnah on Vav Amud Beis. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Moshe Nesamayim Me'ilan Me'ilan, in a field of trees, so in an orchard of trees, he says you're allowed to direct the water from one tree to another. So you have, for example, you have more water than necessary under one tree, then you're allowed to dig out like a shallow channel over there to direct the water to another tree. As long as he doesn't water the entire field. So we see, therefore, because Rashi explains, we're talking about here, about a Beis HaBaal. Again, we're talking about a field that doesn't really need irrigation, so it can live on rainwater. So we see, Rabbi Eliezer says that HaVocha is not allowed. The different explanations, some Rishonim say that the field we're talking about is in fact a Beis HaShochin, but we're saying the trees really need the water, but it was very common in a field that has trees in it, they would also, in between the trees, they would have plots of land. So you'd be allowed to water those plots of land because it's a Beis HaShochin, but you wouldn't, as far as this Moshchen, as Amayim, Me'ilan Le'ilan, that would only be for the trees. So we see there, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says that HaVocha, to do Malacha on Chol HaMoed, in order to get extra benefit, is also only when there's Hefsid involved, as it would be if you don't water the trees. The Gemara says that still doesn't work. Eimer d'shamat le'v Rav Elazar HaVocha d'loy. Fine, that explains, you say that Rav Elazar agrees with one part of our Mishnah, that you're not allowed to do Malacha on Chol HaMoed, where you're only getting HaVocha out of it. Where do you see, though, that Rabbi Eliezer would say that if there's a hefset involved, you're not allowed to do tircha, which is what the Mishnah had said, therefore, that even in a Beis HaShochin, you're not allowed to use rainwater or water from a kiloin, from a deep ditch. You don't see that in what Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is saying. Ela Amar Papa Hamani Rabbi Yehudi. Rather, the Papa says, we can say that our Mishnah, So we can say that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehuda. We learn in a Braisa, Mayan Hayotze V'Tchila, when you have a spring that's coming out of the ground for the first time, like we described before, Mashkin men afilus debes abal divrei the mayor. So the mayor says there's no restriction. You're even allowed to use it to water a beis abal on Chol HaMoed. Even though you have, in other words, two factors against it. Number one, because yatsa b'tchila, and we said the ground above it might collapse and block it. And number two, that it's a base of bowel that doesn't really need irrigation anyway. Nevertheless, the mayor allows it, because he allows even for havoka. So obviously, that's why we said the Mishnah can't be like the mayor. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can only use it to water a soda base Shochin, that chorva literally means like dried up. We'll explain in a few lines of the Gemara what we actually mean by that. But anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda is much closer to our Mishnah, because Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you can only use it for a beis hashochin, not a beis habal, which fits better with what we said in the Mishnah. And the Braisa continues, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah omer loy kach v'loy kach. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says neither one nor the other, which we'll explain in a few lines what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah means. And the Braisa continues, yes, Arkein Omer Rabbi Yehuda. Furthermore, Rabbi Yehuda said, he was machmir on not using the spring to water a beis habal. On top of that, Rabbi Yehuda said another chumra, lo yafna odem amas hamayim. A person is not allowed to redirect an amas hamayim, a water channel, the yashka, the ginosa, the chavasa, the choloshamoyed, to use it to water a garden or a churva of his on chalamoyed. A churva, Tosfos brings up two possibilities. One is that a churva can mean a place where there used to be trees, and now the trees dried up and died. So what he did is he plowed up the ground over there, and now is planting new trees. So nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda is saying you're not allowed to redirect the water channel there in order to water them. Or the other possibility, Tosfos says, is that churva means what it usually means in Shas. Means we're building this wound, where a building collapsed and fell down, and instead of rebuilding it, he decided to make the place into a garden. So in both cases, the point is, there is hefset involved if he doesn't water it. On the other hand, though, redirecting the water channel to there would be too much tircha, because it means you have to dig in the ground over there to redirect the water to there, so therefore Rabbi Yehuda says you can't do that. So we see, therefore, that Rabbi Yehuda says that you can't do tircha yaseira, even where there's hefsed. And we also see that he says that you're only allowed to water a beis hashochin. So that fits much better with our Mishnah. So first, before we continue with that discussion, the Gemara says, first of all, we have to understand my chorva. When we said that Rabbi Yehuda allows you to water a beis hashochin to chorva, my chorva, what does it mean chorva? Usually chorva means it dried up. But Ilema Chorva Mamish, does it literally mean that it dried up? Well, then Lomali Demashkila. Demashkila, why is he even bothering to water it? It dried up means it's a goner. So there's no good. It won't help anything to water it. Amar Abaya says, fine. What the word Chorva means, Chorva, Mimayin Zeh, Vyotzala Mayin Acher. What happened is, you used to have a different spring that provided water for the field. Then that spring dried up or fell in or whatever, and now you don't have it available anymore. But now you have a new spring came out of the ground, so now we're saying you're allowed to use that on Chol HaMoed. The fact is, this is a beis hashochin. It needs irrigation, and if you don't irrigate it during Chol HaMoed, you're going to have seder yaseder. Nevertheless, even Rabbi Yehuda is saying that only because you have a mayan sheyotza, therefore you're allowed to use it. But again, make shamim and make kilon. He would say it's too much of a tircha. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda is saying what it says in our Mishnah, both factors, that you're allowed to do it where there's hefsid, but even then, not when there's tircha involved. Now, we can't say it's like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, because after all, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, as we're going to explain now, so Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says not like this and not like this, what does he mean? So he's referring to what Rabbi Yehuda had said again, we had Rabbi Meir had said that when the Mayan came out now, started springing forth from the ground for the first time, Rabbi Meir had said you're allowed to use it even for a sodeh beis habal, even for a field that can live on rainwater. Rabbi Yehuda said only a beis hashochet shechorva. When Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, loy kach, loy kach, So what do you mean? He means loishna chod of mayona, loishna loy chod of mayona. He says, Rabbi Yehuda, you're telling me there's a difference whether there was an original spring over there which dried up and now there's a new spring to replace it, or whether there wasn't. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says it doesn't matter. Mayan sheyotze b'tchila loy. Either way, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says you're not allowed to use a mayan sheyotze b'tchila because, as we said, the ground above it may collapse and then you're gonna want to dig it out again on Chol HaMoed, and you're not allowed to do that. So obviously, therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah cannot be agreeing with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says that you are allowed to use a mayan sheyotze b'tchila. So he's more machmir than our Mishnah. On the other hand, the Mishnah can't be like the mayor, because the mayor was Makel. He says you're allowed to water even a sada beis abal on Chol HaMoed, because he says that you can do even for harvacha, even for improving the crops and making them grow faster. So Rabbi Yehuda, the middle ground over there, that would be who our Mishnah is like. But the Gemara says, umimai, still, who says that Rabbi Yehuda is the Tana of our Mishnah? Dilma ad kam like ka'omer Rabbi Yehuda beis ha-shoch and ein beis ha-baloi. You know why? Maybe Rabbi Yehuda says that you're allowed to water a beis ha-shochen and not a beis ha-bal is maybe only ela mayan sheyotze b'tchila. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda is making that restriction only when the mayan now came out of the ground for the first time. Again, because you do have, it's true on the one hand that you have, it's a beis ha-shochen and it needs irrigation. On the other hand, it's a mayan sheyotze b'tchila and there's a concern that it may collapse. But maybe Dilma Osilin fully, as we said, because it may collapse and then you're going to dig it out again and it's Tircha Yisera. Ava Mayan Shalayatza Mechila. But you could argue maybe Rabbi Yehuda means that when the Mayan has already been there a long time, the Loy Osilin fully, where it's less likely to collapse in, Afila Beis Abal Nami, maybe Rabbi Yehuda would allow you to water even a base Abal with it. So fine, Rabbi Meir is saying that you can use either kind of mayan to water a beis ha-shochen or a beis ha-bal. So the mayor allows all four possibilities. Yotze b'tchila, not yotze b'tchila, beis ha-shochen, beis ha-bal. Fine, we would say that, so we're assuming that Rabbi Yehuda is allowing two out of those four things, namely he allows a mayan to yotze b'tchila, or that not yotze b'tchila, and either way you're allowed to use it for a sada beis ha-shochen. But maybe not. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda says three out of the four cases are allowed. If it's a beis ha-shochen, then you're always allowed. Or if it's a mayan shel yotze b'tchila, then you're always allowed. So three out of the four cases would be allowed. According to him, it would only be osur if it's a beis ha-bal and it's a mayan shel yotze b'tchila. So in that case, if we learn Rabbi Yehuda that way, then he wouldn't agree with our Mishnah, because the Mishnah had said that you can never water a beis ha-bal on Chol HaMoed. The answer is, you can't understand Rabbi Yehuda like that, because in Kain Masnisin Aman Tiryeh, then who are you going to attribute the Mishnah to? We only have these opinions, so our Mishnah has to fit with one of them. So it can't be Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. It can't be Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because we said before, and so we had four opinions actually. We had Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we had Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov had said that, fine, we said that you can't do harvacha, but we didn't see him address at all the question of he said you're not allowed to do harvacha, so you're not allowed to water the entire field, which would be harvacha, but we don't see that he says anything about not doing tircha yaseira. So we can't say our Mishnah goes according to him, because we don't find that he says anything about Tircha Yaseira not being allowed. Rav Meir, for sure, it doesn't go according to, because Rav Meir is Mekel. Rav Elazar ben Azariah is Machmir. So it has to be Rav Yehuda by elimination, because otherwise there's nobody else. Tosfos says, okay, why don't we say it is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, and we would say, okay, we didn't find explicitly that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says anything about Tircha Yaseira, but maybe he does hold that Tircha Yaseira is also like it says in our Mishnah. Tosfos says, fine, the fact is that from Rav Elazar ben Azariah's statement in the next Mishnah, we only see that he holds of one of these two factors. The fact is, by Rabbi Yehuda, you do see that he takes both those factors into consideration. He does mention Tircha Yaseira, and he does mention Hefsid as opposed to Harvacha. So fine, the only question is, would he say that you can use a Mayan Sheyotze B'tchila to water a Beis HaBaal? So we could understand him that way, but we can also understand him not that way, and then he fits with the Mishnah. Whereas to make Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov fit with the Mishnah would mean to be saying a whole different factor about Tircha, which he didn't even mention. So therefore, more logically to say that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehuda, and to say that, so going back to the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, we would say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Loishna Mayin Shal Yatzah B'Tchila, the Loishna Mayin Shal Yatzah B'Tchila. In fact, there's no difference whether the Mayin existed before or did not exist before, or the other way around, where it didn't exist before or it did exist before, Beis HaShochen Ein Beis HaBaal Loi. Either way, you're only allowed to water a Beis HaShochen, not a Beis HaBaal. So only two out of the four cases. So why does the Braisa specifically focus on a Mayan Shiyotza B'Tchila? Is that was because the Braisa wants to tell you how far Rav Meir goes in being Mekel. That's Bila Mayan Shiyotza B'Tchila, Mashkin Men Afilo Sedei Beis HaBaal. Then that, even though this is the first time this spring is coming out, and it's a Beis HaBaal, so you have two factors against it, still Rav Meir allows it because Rav Meir allows all four possibilities. So we don't have to say that the Braisa is mentioning Mayan Shiyotza B'Tchila because Rabbi Yehuda would hold that there is a difference between the two kinds of Mayan. You could say Rabbi Yehuda says both kinds of Mayan have the same rules, Beis HaShochen yes, Beis HaBaal no, which exactly agrees with our Mishnah. But the Braisa mentioned it in that way in order to tell us that Rav Meir is Mekel in all four cases. And as Tosfos points out, the Tana of a Mishnah or a Braisa would always rather highlight the opinion that would always rather highlight how far the opinion that's Mekel goes in being Mekel. So therefore, we'd rather highlight how far Rav Meir goes in being Mekel, that he allows all four. And in order to understand Rav Yehuda's opinion, we'll have to refer to the Mishnah. Okay, so in short, our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So now the Gemara is going to go into a side discussion, which is eventually going to relate back to our Mishnah. So Itzma, we have a discussion about Miroyim on the following question. Hamenakesh, if a person pulls out weeds from a, so you have in your field or in your garden, you have weeds growing and you have to pull out those weeds so that they don't steal nutrients from the ground that you'd rather have going to your crops. So weeding. So this is talking about, so both of them are talking about Shabbos. So if a person weeds on Shabbos, or if a person waters plants on Shabbos, where Rashi describes, you have, let's say, grasses or herbs or whatever that are growing, and you go and pour water on the roots of them. So Mishumai Masunin Day. We know these are malachas of Shabbos, of course. What malacha do we have to tell him when we give him asra? What malacha do we have to tell him that he's doing, that he's going to be chayav skila if he keeps on doing this? Tosfos points out that you can't just generically tell him you're doing malacha. That wouldn't be good enough. You have to tell him the issur. On the other hand, the Minchas Chinuch says that maybe what Tosfos means is not necessarily you have to tell him the particular malacha. It might be enough to tell him generically you're doing a malacha, but you have to tell him, if you're going to tell him a malacha, you have to tell him the correct one. So you can have, let's say, for example, a person is about to turn on a light switch on Shabbos, let's say, and you're going to tell him you're going to do the malacha of writing, that wouldn't be valid asra. But according to the Minchas Chinuch's understanding of Tosfos, maybe if you told him generically you're doing a malacha, then maybe that would be enough. So again, there's two ways of understanding over here. Are we saying that you have to tell him the specific malacha, or are we telling him at least you can't tell him the wrong malacha? Whatever the case. So what malacha is he being over on that we would give him asura? Rabbi Yosef Amar Mishum Zereya. Rabbi Yosef said that these are tulbas of the malacha of Zereya, of planting, because both of these things are causing the plants to grow better. Rabba Amar Mishum Chodesh. Rabba says the malacha that he's doing is the malacha of Chodesh, of plowing. I said it backwards. Rabba Amar Mishum Chodesh, Rabbi Yosef Amar Mishum Zereya. Rabba says he's over on the malacha of Chodesh, Rabbi Yosef says he's over on the malacha of Zereya, of planting. Amar Rabba Kavasi Didi Mistabra. So Rabba says, let me explain to you, I can show you that logic is better according to me. Ma darkesh ochoresh, what is a person doing when he's plowing? After all, the fundamental malacha of plowing is l'apuyeyara, is in order to soften the ground so the plants will grow better. Hochanami, hainami l'apuyeyara. Well, that's exactly what you're doing over here. When you're pulling out the weeds, then you're softening the ground because now the other plants will be able to grow better in the soil that was disturbed by you planting out, by you pulling out the weeds. And when you water the grass or the plants or whatever, also you're softening the ground and making the plants will grow better. Therefore, it's more like chodesh. You go according to the primary purpose of the malacha. On the other hand, Amr Rav Yosef, Tavasidi Dimastabra. On the other hand, Rav Yosef says it's more logical, like my opinion, that it's a tolda of the malacha of Zereya. Ma darke shel Zereya. What are you doing when you're doing the malacha of Zereya? It's a muchi pera. You're causing that fruit and produce should grow. Well, here also, you're causing that the fruit and the produce is going to grow better. It's not going to have its nutrients stolen by the weeds. And it's going to grow better because you're watering it. So Tosfos explains, in other words, that Rabba's point is you're going according to the main malacha itself, and Rabbi Yosef is saying you're going according to what he's thinking. When he's pulling out the weeds and he's watering the ground, true that he does in fact soften the ground, but that's not really what he's thinking, that's not really what he has in mind that he's doing. He has in mind that he's doing to make the plants grow better. Therefore, he says it would be a part of the malacha of Zereh. Amalei Abaya l'Rabba, but Abaya says to Rabba, l'didach kasha or l'Rav Yosef kasha. Really, now there's a question on what both of you are saying. Both of you are saying that there's only one malacha involved, but l'didach kasha. The question is on you, Rabba. Mishum chodesh ein mishum zerei aloi. Why should he only be chayev for chodesh? Why shouldn't he say in fact that he's chayev for two malachas? After all, you can have a person, so fine, as far as skill, obviously, you can only give him skill at once, but as far as a chatas at least, we can say that he should be chai of two chatos, because he did two malachas, and similarly, the Rabbi Yosef kasha. The question can also be on Rabbi Yosef. Why is he saying only one malacha? V'didach kasha, mishum chodesh, ein mishum zerei aloi. Why should he be chayev only because of chodesh? Why indeed shouldn't he be chayev because of zerei? The fact is, he is promoting the growth of the plants, and Rav Yosef kasha mishum zereya and mishum chodesh loy. And on Rav Yosef, the question would be, why is Rav Yosef saying he's only chayev of zereya? The fact is, like you're saying, he is softening the ground as well, and that should be a tolda of chodesh. So why are each one of you saying that there's only one malacha involved? The chitema. So continues Abaya. You're gonna say, you're going to say that no, whenever a person is doing something that involves two different malachas, you could say, you would argue that maybe he's only chayev for one malacha. So you would say that even though, in fact, here he is softening the ground and promoting the growth of the plants, still he could only be chayev for one. But no, didn't Rav Kahana say that if a person prunes dry branches from a tree, and which promotes the growth of the tree because he makes the tree grow better, but the tzarech la'etzim, he also needs the wood that he's pruning. So therefore, chayev shtayim, so he's chayev for two malachas. Achas mishim neteya, v'achas mishim kotzer. One because he's planting, because he's helping the tree grow better. When it doesn't have the dry branches, then it'll grow better. And number two, because he's harvesting, because the malacha of harvesting is that there's something that grew from the ground, and you need it, and you're picking it from the ground. Well, he needs this wood, and he's picking it from the ground. So we see that Rav Kahana says that you can be chayev for two malachas, even though you only did one action. So why, by the same token, when you're weeding or watering the plants, why shouldn't you be chayev for two? And it was kasha. You're right, it's a kasha on Rabba or Rav Yosef. Tosfos actually takes out the word, Tosfos actually takes out the word kasha because the fact is, so what? Rav Kahana is an Amora, Rabba and Rav Yosef are Amoraim. They're perfectly entitled to argue with Rav Kahana, so why is it such a kasha? On the other hand, we do have the word kasha over here, and a number of the Rishonim defend it, and they say the fact is that Rav Kahana's din is generally accepted in the Gemara. We have it in Masech Shabbos and in other places where the Gemara mentions this point and the Gemara accepts it as a given that is the halacha. So since we know the halacha is like that, then we need Rabba and Rav Yosef's opinions to be able to fit with that. Okay. So we're left with a kasha, the fact that according to Rav Kahana, you could be chayev for two malachas, even though you only need one action. So why are Rabba and Rav Yosef saying that you only chayev for one? Fine. But now let's deal more in detail with their opinions, and eventually we're going to relate it back to our Mishnah. So Eisvei Rav Yosef l'Rabba. So Rav Yosef says to Rabba, what do you mean that he's chayev for the malacha of Chodesh? we learn in a braisa hamenakish if a person weeds when it comes to kalayim. If a person has kalayim in his field, kalay zroyim or kalay akerim or whatever, he has kalayim in his field and he weeds around them. Again, he pulls out weeds around them. Or if he covers up the seeds are lying on the ground over there and he covers them with dirt, which helps make them grow better. Loika, so he gets malchus because he's planted kalayim. Rav Akiva oimer afa makayim. Rav Akiva says, not only that, but also a person who allows kilayim to stay. Now, over here, Rashi explains that makayim means that in other words, he sees kilayim growing in his field, and he doesn't do anything about it. Tosfos in other places discusses, now why should that be? Why would Rav Akiva say he gets malchus for that? It's a lav she'en ve'maisa. So Tosfos in other places brings from the Oruch that says maybe Rav Akiva holds you do get malchus for a lav she'en ve'maisa. Tosfos themselves disagrees with that, because we see from other places that Rav Akiva doesn't hold that. So rather, Tosfos says Makayim over here could mean, not like Rashi is saying, that he just sees the Kalayim and leaves them alone. It means that he does something in order to help protect them, for example, building a fence around them, showing that he wants to keep the Kalayim. Whatever the case, so the point is, we see that the Tanakhama had mentioned weeding, which is one of the malachas that we were talking about before. So, Rav Yosef says, "Bishleima l'didi d'amina mishum zereya." Well, then, this braisa is very understandable according to me that I say that weeding is part of the malacha of zereya. Hainu da'asida zera b'kalayim. Well, okay, the Torah tells us you're not allowed to plant kalayim, so it makes sense therefore that weeding, we're saying, is part of that malacha. Then therefore you're not allowed to do it, and you get malchus for it. So on Shabbos also we can say that weeding is part of the malacha of zereya. Elavli d'achta amit mishum chodesh, but you, Rabba, are saying that weeding is part of the malacha of chodesh because you're softening the soil. Well, then chadish the kilayim miyasira. Since when are you also to plow new kilayim? There's no the issue is you're not allowed to plant kilayim. Not that you're not allowed to plow new kilayim. So according to you, why should the menakish of this braisa be chayav malchus? So Rabba answers him, omalei mishum makayim. The answer is because he's going to be chayiv on the grounds of Mekayim, because he's leaving the plants alone there and allowing them to grow. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? The Braisa continues, Rav Akiva says that a Mekayim is chayiv malchus, miklal the Tanakhama lav mishum Mekayimu, implying the Tanakhama is saying he's chayiv for a different reason. The Tanakhama would say that Mekayim is not enough to make him chayiv, whether because it's a lav she'en ve'maisa, or because even if he's building a fence, that has nothing to do with the Kalayim itself. It's far away from the Kalayim. So the Akiva would say that that's enough to make him Chayiv Malchus. The Chachamim would disagree. So apparently then the Chachamim are saying that Menakish is not, that Menakish, that weeding is not considered, is considered Zereya. That's the only reason to be Mechayiv. The answer is no. Rabba can answer Kula Rav Akiva. No, Rabba can answer the entire Braisa goes according to Rav Akiva. Umay Tam Kama. Because the Braisa is giving us a reason. In other words, it's one Tana. My Tam Amenakish Amachafa B'Kalayim Loika. Why is a person Chayiv Malchus for weeding around Kalayim or for covering the seeds of Kalayim with dirt? Mishum Mekayim. Why is he like a Mishum Mekayim? Because he's allowing or promoting the growth of Kelayim. Shed Rav Akiva Oimer Afa Mekayim, because Rav Akiva says that also Mekayim is Chayiv Malchus when it comes to Kelayim. So you could say, therefore, that Menakish is also part of Mekayim, and in that case, it could very well be part of the Malacha of Chodesh of plowing, because after all, he's plowing over here, he's improving the soil in order for the Kelayim to grow. So the Gemara says, my time of the Rav Akiva. So why does Rav Akiva say that? Why does he say Mekayim the Kalayim like that? The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says, Sodcha loy sizra kilayim, when the Pasuk says you're not allowed to plant your field with kilayim, so that means, Ainli elozereya. Now, from that Pasuk, you would only know that if he actually plants them, then he's chayiv. Mekayim minayim. How do we know he's also chayiv malchus for Mekayim? Again, as Rashi says over here, to just leave them growing and not pick them. Or according to the Aruch, because lav she'en ve'maisa, and according to Tosfos, because he builds a fence around them. So how do we know, says Rav Akiva, that he's chayiv malchus? Tamad lema kil ayim sod chaloy. Therefore, The pasuk is telling us sodcha lo sizra kilayim. So what we do is we take the word kilayim from later in the pasuk and we move it next to the word and we move it before the word sodcha. So it comes out saying kilayim sodcha lo, you are not allowed to have kilayim in your field. So therefore, so wherever you have kilayim, then you have to get rid of it. So there are, in other places, Rashi explains, and again, like we said before, the Rashi over here on Moed Katan is not really necessarily from Rashi, but in other places, the actual Pirush of Rashi explains differently. The pasuk first mentions kilayim of animals. It starts out by saying, behem techoloi sabia kilayim, you know, allowed to crossbreed your animals as kilayim. Then it continues, sod choloi sizra kilayim. So what Rabbi Akiva is doing is he's taking the word kilayim from the first part of the pasuk and attaching it to the second part. So we don't need to rearrange words like we're saying over here. We just need to repunctuate the pasuk when it says, behem techoloi sabia, don't crossbreed your animals. Then it's continuing, kilayim sod choloi sizra. Kilayim. That's a kilayim you're not allowed to have in your field. So therefore, so the word kilayim goes next to sodcha and loy, and therefore Rabbi Akiva says we learn from that you're not allowed to have kilayim in your field. So that's where he learns that mekayim the kilayim gets malchus. So therefore, but again, Rabbi is saying, you, Rabbi Yosef, are understanding that this braisa has two different opinions, isn't it? The Tanakama who says you're chayev for weeding, and Rabbi Akiva says you're also chayev for mekayim, but not necessarily. And therefore, you're saying that weeding can't be part of the malacha of chodesh, because there's no reason the Tanakama would say that the person is chayev malchus for doing that by kilayim. But Rabbi is saying that no, I hold that the braisa is all one opinion. The opinion of Rabbi Akiva, and he's saying that weeding, that menakish, that weeding is chayev on the ground of kilayim sod chaloi, that is mekayim kilayim, and that the chachamim would in fact disagree and say, because as Rabbi is saying, weeding is part of the malacha of chodesh, and there's no malacha of chodesh when it comes to kilayim. Therefore, the chachamim would disagree and say that you're not chayav malchus for it. Okay. So now the question is, Tanan. Now let's relate this machlokes back to our Mishnah. We said in our Mishnah, Mashkin Beis HaShochen B'moyer B'Shvi'is, you're allowed to water a Beis HaShochen, a field that's dry and needs extra irrigation. You're allowed to water it on Chol HaMoed and on Shvi'is. So, B'Shleimach Moed, I understand why you're allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed. Mishum Tirchahu, it's true there's a certain amount of Tircha, but at least it's not Tircha Yisera. U'vimkoyim P'seder Shorer Rabbanon, so where you have a Hefset involved, then you're allowed to do Tircha, not Tircha Yisera. Fine, which is why we said you can't use Meg Shomim or Meg Kiloin. But you are allowed to do regular tircha. El shvius. But if you say that, but when it comes to shmita, bein l'manda omer mishum zereya, bein l'manda omer mishum chodesh. Whether according to Rabbi Yosef, who says that it's a problem of zereya, or Rabbi, who says it's a problem of chodesh, either way, zereya v'charisha b'shvius nishari. Since when are you allowed to plant or plow on shvius? So how can the Mishnah tell us that you're allowed to water a field on shvius? Which, according to from Beis HaShulchan on Shvi'is, which according to Rabbah is Chodesh, and according to Rabbi Yosef is Zereya. Either way, those are malachos in a field that you're not allowed to do on Shvi'is. So the answer is Amar Abaya v'Shvi'is v'Zmanazeh. The answer is that we're talking about Shvi'is as it is nowadays. The Rebbe, so our Mishnah would be according to the opinion of Rebbe. The Tanya, Rebbe Omer, when the pasuk says v'Zed Dvar Hashmita Shomot. The pasuk says this is the matter of the shmita. You have to let go. So the context is it's talking about shmita's ksavim that all loans are canceled at the end of shmita year. And the pasuk uses the double expression zed vara shmita shomot. So it means v'shtei shmita's akosim medaber. So it means says Rabbi, the pasuk is telling me about two different kinds of shmita. Achas shmita's karka va'achas shmita's ksavim. One is the shmita of the land, that you're not allowed to work the land during shmita, or Tosfos elsewhere explains that it may mean shmita's karka, as in the returning of fields to their owners during yovel. Va'achas shmita's ksavim, and the other one is the shmita of forgiving loans. So we learn from the fact that the Torah puts them together, v'zman sh'ata m'shamet karka at m'shamet ksavim, only when there's shmita's karka, only then does shmita's ksavim apply, or v'zman sh'iyat m'shamet karka iyat m'shamet ksavim, when there's no shmita's karka, then there's no shmita's ksavim. Meaning, now there's a time, in other words, when there's no Shmita Skarka, Daraisa. What would that be? So Rebbe holds that the whole concept of Shmita Skarka nowadays is only Dirabanan, and the whole concept of Shmita Skarka therefore nowadays is also only Dirabanan. Well, very well, if it's only also Dirabanan to do Malacha, because you do Malacha on the ground during Shmita, then the same Chachamim, who said it's also, can say that it's Mutter in certain cases, including where there's Hef, where there's Hefsted, as there would be in a Beis HaSholchan. But according to the Chachamim, would disagree with Rebbe, then they would in fact disagree with our Mishnah. So that's one way. So we'll learn, we'll continue on Matzah Shabbos. We'll talk about a different answer that Rava is going to give. But right now, we have a biased answer that you're right. If Shmita is Daraisa, then the Mishnah would not be saying you're allowed to do these things because you're not allowed to plow and you're not allowed to plant on Shmita. But since Shmita nowadays is only Dirabanan, and the reason it would be Dirabanan, according to Rebbe, is because most of the Jewish people do not live in Eretz Yisrael, then therefore the Chachamim can give various leniencies about what you're allowed and not allowed to do during Shmita. By the way, the Gemara in Gittin mentions this point and mentions that's one reason the Gemara asks over there, how is it that Hillel was able to make a takana of a prusbul, which in effect cancels this thing of canceling loans during Shmita. We're saying loans are canceled at the end of Shmita, but Hillel came up with a takana of a prusbul that you say to the Beis Din, I'm giving you over my debts so I can collect them anytime I want. How is he able to do that? The Torah says you're not allowed to collect the debts. How is he allowed to do that? So one answer is, in fact, that Prusbul is only effective nowadays when Shmita is Dirabanan. The Rambam passed him that way and says that therefore when Shmita is Daraisa, so when Mashiach comes and Shmita is Daraisa, then according to that opinion, we'll no longer be able to have a Prusbul. The other opinion, and the Gemara says that there was it's allowed because Hefka based in Hefka, because it's a matter of money, and the Chachamim have permission, have the ability to be Mafkir money, to say that even though this money in principle belongs to this person, we're going to take it away from him and make him pay it back to the other guy. Okay, so we'll continue this discussion on Matzoi Shabbos, Best Hashem, and then continue getting, we're going to get more into details about what exactly is and is not, and what exactly is and isn't mutter on during Shmita to do in a field.